Welcome to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb. I'm Natasha Steele and we're broadcasting monthly from the open market. Over the next hour, community enterprises from the city will share their stories. And we'll hear from campaigners who've signed up over 100 businesses to a scheme to reduce plastic waste. So you're listening to the Brighton Business Show on FM 97.2, on digital, online at radioreverb.com and on podcast downloadable from Mixcloud and Audioboom. As regular listeners know, Reverb is a community radio station, and on today's business show we're getting into the space where business and community cross over, or maybe where community takes over from business. I'd like to welcome to the studio my first guests, Ian Chambers from The Bevy, a community pub in Bevendean, Andy Roberts from The Greys, a community music pub in Hanover, and Curtis James, a filmmaker telling stories that inspire and help deliver social change. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Great to have you here. And to start, Ian and Andy, would you tell us a bit more about The Bevy and The Greys? Ian, when did you get involved and how did the community takeover happen? If that's what happened.
It is quite a long story. It was about 2010, I think it was, that the Bevendean Hotel, as was closed down by the local authority and by the police for a series of sort of essentially antisocial actions. And immediately the locals realised that that meant that there were no pubs open on the estate, and that they wanted to get it back open again, but this time run by the community and for the community, be a family-oriented pub that everyone can enjoy. They didn't really know how to do it. They just knew that they wanted to do it. Mm-hmm. And then their journey started from there. I got involved somewhere along the way, sort of, because we were the people who ran the Bevy were put in touch with the people who were trying to save Exeter Street Hall.
So the two things were happening at the same time.
And they were advised by a guy called Dave Boyle, who's an expert in community shares. And he said, go and talk to Exeter Street Hall. They're slightly ahead of you on their journey towards a sort of constitutional way of running a business. We had a very interesting meeting in our very cold hall, which at that time we didn't own. And what really impressed me was the guys from the Bevies listened to what advice we gave them and then said, let's go and have a meeting now in the pub. Let's have a committee meeting in the pub right now. Let's make some decisions. And they said, Ian, will you come with us just if we've got any more questions? So we went to our local pub. They made some decisions and we cracked on from there. And that just made me think, I thought at the time, how can they possibly succeed? It was such a big task that they were trying to do. But it kind of struck me straight away that I'd love to find out what happens and sort of be a small part of this and join in with these people because they just seemed so indefatigable. You know,
the passion.
They were so
the
determined and funny and good company that I thought, right, I'm gonna join in with this. And so I got more and more involved, and that's what happens in community businesses, is if the story takes hold in you, then you kind of just get drawn in and drawn in. And so I eventually became a committee member and a volunteer. And then at one point I was the chef at the Bevy, so we had a problem with the chef. And so I stepped in and it kind of went on from there. And eventually we had trouble getting a manager. And so I decided, okay, I think I know how to do this. I hope I do. And became the manager last year.
So you're still the manager at the
moment? So I'm the general manager of the pub. We have other paid staff, and then we have a team of volunteers who do tremendous things.
Great. And what's the story at The Greys, Andy? Is it similar?
The Greys is... No, not really, because The Greys has never closed. It's teetered on the brink of it for a while. But my personal history with it goes back about 30 years. I'm married to a girl who I didn't meet her in Brighton, but she was living in Brighton when I met her. And through that relationship, I came to know the Greys, which was then being run by a man called Mike Lance, who for a long time ran it with the most wonderful music policy, which is the thing that has marked it out from the Hanover pubs. The Hanover is an area, I don't know if you know it, but it has a lot of pubs. But the Greys has always been distinctive because on a Monday night, they promote music. And some world-class acts have been attracted there. The cleverness of the policy is that on Monday nights, if you're touring, you never get a gig. Mm-hmm. You know, you work sort of Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday for sure, maybe Wednesday. But on a Monday, that's the day that you're sitting in a hotel, not earning any money. It's costing you to be on tour. Mm. And so you can attract world-class acts for quite small amounts of money. And Mike spotted this. He started doing that at the pub, and that was carried on. But what's happened in the last maybe 5-6 years, the pub's fallen on hard times. It's owned by one of the large conglomerate pub co's, and it's a tied house. So it has to buy its beer from the pub co at inflated prices. Mm-hmm. Makes it very hard as a tenant to make any money. Yeah. So there have been a number of tenants over the last 2 or 3 years, and it's teetered on the brink. And now the pub co have put the pub up for sale. This mm-hmm. is something that happened just in the summer. Uh-huh. And so a determined band of local enthusiasts, not only music enthusiasts, but just local people who love the building, have decided to try and raise a share offer and try and buy the pub from the pub go to run it on a community basis, you know, in the same way that Ian's talking. Yep. You know, sort of we're going to have crochet mornings on a Thursday.
So music and crochet.
Yes.
What could be better?
So we're at an early phase. Our share offer isn't live yet. Mm-hmm. It's coming up pretty soon. And we're just crossing the T's and dotting the I's. But it's going to be... We're trying to attract people to invest in it.
So in terms of that share offer, how small an investment could be made? Is it tiny investments, or are you looking for bigger partners?
Tiny investments, you know, in the kind of... I mean, we're not looking for 10p. That wouldn't really fly. It could be anything. I know that we've been looking at incentive schemes. I mean, so this is not necessarily the smallest investment. We've been looking at, you know, if you put in £250, you know, what would you get back? Anybody that invests in it would certainly be eligible for tax relief. That's what we're looking into. Mm-hmm. That seems to be a strong possibility. And apart from the fact that we'd need for people to leave their money in for a certain length of time, because you can't buy the pub and then have people wanting to take their share out the next day. So there would be some minimum length of term for the investment, but beyond that, we're looking into the possibilities of paying interest and other inducements, mm-hmm. And advantages financial. But
so there is. It isn't just a straightforward community venture. There is actual money to be earned, if you like.
Well, I mean, I don't want to stress this because I would never see it in those terms. No. But then I don't know anything about business. You know, as I say, I'm a musician. You know, for me, that musicians have to be taught that 10 o'clock comes twice every day. Yeah. You know,
I mean, what's the model at the Mary?
Ian will help us there.
I can probably help you with that. In that, so I've been involved with. Exeter Street Hall and the Bevy have the same constitution, mm-hmm. And it's quite labyrinthine in terms of this is why people say, what is a community business? And in fact, there's different forms of community business, and it's quite dull, and it's not the thing that people get excited about when they're trying to save their pub. Mm-hmm. But it's extremely important. One of the reasons that the Bevy, we've gone over to the Grey straight away and said, right, here's the benefit of our advice. Mm. And one is, it's very, very hard work. Don't enter into it lightly. Mm. But on the other side, it's extremely good fun. Mm. But the earlier you can get good advice on the best way to proceed, the more likely you are to proceed without wasting lots of time, money, energy, resources. So... that's a difficult thing to do, and that's why you need to talk to a Dave Boyle type person who will give you... He knows all of those formats. Yeah. He's steeped in, and there are other people who can help you. So there's an organisation called Plunkett, and they particularly help shops and then pubs. Mm-hmm. You adopt a constitution, and then you sort of follow their rules.
And they give you financial bursaries, and as well as advice. There's some financial help.
Yeah, in terms of shares, the key thing is, so the bevy, at the beginning, you have to make a share on the minimum share price. So the minimum investment in the bevy was £10. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is an area of deprivation. Mm-hmm. And if you want to have lots of access, you needed a lower price.
Yes.
Now, by that, you're kind of acknowledging that you're probably not going to get all of the money you need from the shares. But what you are going to get is a large body of people for other funders to believe in. That's what happened at the bevy. So we raised a significant proportion, a surprisingly large proportion of the money from an area of deprivation. But that gave funders the confidence to say, well, this will probably work. Look at all those people who are buying into it. In the hall, Exeter Street Hall, we had a very long and passionate discussion about where should that amount of money be, because we knew that if we didn't get enough money, we'd lose the hall.
Yes.
But on the other hand, we wanted to be inclusive. So we set it at £50, but the thing we were discussing, should it be £250? And you have to have a serious discussion about that and think about who is going to invest. Obviously, you can invest more than £50, but it's where you set that sort of
threshold,
bar.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting. And just the investment of a community in a resource like that, and the people are actually prepared to put their money up for it, however little they have, and however...
The thing is, going into it, you never know whether somebody's going to come out of the woodwork and give you 10,000 or 50,000.
Yeah.
That can also happen.
Yeah. Have you seen that happen?
I mean, no, in our dreams.
I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
So basically, we, at Exeter Street Hall, we had an open event. We were kind of struggling to get the money, so we had an open event, and we just asked local people to say why they'd put the money in, and one young woman got up and said she had two small children. She was going to put their sort of college fund that she was starting to save, she was going to put it into the hall because she needed the hall to be there now for her children now. And there was a guy there who was so moved by the way she put it and her passion for the hall that he immediately wrote a cheque for £10,000.
That is really impressive.
Do you think she'd put any money into the Grey so that her children have got somewhere to drink later?
Yeah, you never know. I'll get in touch with her.
So after the next track, we'll be finding a bit more out about setting up a community enterprise. But first, here's Eddie and the Hot Rods. That was Eddie and the Hot Rods with Do Anything You Want to Do. And here in the studio, I've got three guests who've been doing exactly that. Ian Chambers and Andy Roberts from the Bevy and the Greys, two community pubs, and Curtis James, a filmmaker from We Are Fieldwork. Now, you've had an event in the city this week, and I just wanted to find out what happened at the event and which other community enterprises were involved.
So the Bevy organised the event. We decided that we wanted to sort of almost celebrate Brighton's community businesses, and also get them together and try to get us in the same room so we make sure we're talking to each other. It was framed around a conference called Meaning, which is a business conference about purpose in business, and that's just for business in general rather than community businesses. And they decided to have fringe events. So we organised a fringe event at Exeter Street Hall, so organised by a community pub, in a community hall, inviting lots of community businesses. And as part of that event, we wanted to give the flavour of a couple of community businesses, and then we wanted to have a discussion. So we had a question and answer panel featuring people from community businesses, and also chaired by Vidya Alexan, who's the CEO of Power to Change, which is a major funding body set up with lottery funding money, which has got a long-term aim to sort of seed and support and generate more and more community businesses.
And, of course, you know, hearing other people's experiences is a really valuable way of motivating others to do similar and to get projects up and running and alive. And I know, Curtis, that's an area you've been involved in terms of filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a bit about the community groups you've been working with?
Well, I was invited to document these two businesses for this event, and I guess when I first kind of thought about the idea of documenting them, I guess my initial thought was, I'm going to tell the story of how they were set up. And then as I did my research, I discovered that those stories had already been told. And as I started meeting more people involved in them, I found some characters and some lovely human beings that I really wanted to kind of delve deeper into their lives and try to kind of, you know, tell their stories about their involvement either as volunteers or as users of the services or as creators of the services.
Mm-hmm.
My background is kind of, you know, mixed. I've spent a lot of time creating kind of radio and photography stuff, but my company's a research company. But I'm a big believer in making research super compelling because I never want it to gather dust on shelves. It's really important that people walk out of a room like they did on Wednesday, hopefully remembering those stories and remembering those when they're thinking about doing something.
So on Wednesday, what were you exactly doing in the room?
I call it a live documentary. So I actually show a bunch of photos and video stuff, but I narrate it live.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of 25 minutes, I told the stories of these two organisations, including a whole bunch of interview material from Ian and various other people, Simon from Stone and Bakehouse. And, you know, there's really personal stories in there. I mean, Simon's story from Stone and Bakehouse is a deeply personal story about mental health, having a breakdown,
mm-hmm.
and how that has really kind of kick-started and inspired him to set up this business.
Mm-hmm.
It's a privilege to you know, be allowed to, you know, be involved in that kind of storytelling.
Absolutely. Is there anywhere people can access any of this information at the moment?
Not right away, because it, at the moment it exists as a thing that I do live, but mm-hmm. we are going to do a recorded version of it. And we'll be making that available online. And that'll be available from, I'm guessing, my website, the Bevy's website, the Power to Change website. So
well, do send us information about that so I can let listeners know how to access it. And in general, what kind of media can be helpful in setting up your community enterprises? Films, obviously, are a route to reach people with stories. But is the press helpful? Is social media helpful?
I think the Bevy, we've taken advantage of media and social media quite well. I think we learned quite early on, a lot of these things happen through sort of just circumstances crop up and sort of happy coincidences. And you learn as you go along. So one of the things we were lucky with at the Bevy is quite early on we had contact from a filmmaker who created a film and kept coming back. So their film sort of tracked to sort of about a year, I think, and you were seeing the project develop. But what you ended up with was a sort of history of lots of people doing things in pictures and in films, and it's explaining their passion.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really useful when it comes to funding, because it's much easier to show somebody that passion in a film and have human faces and smiles and.
So documenting your project is really valuable, whatever.
So at the Bevy, whenever we talk to new projects like the Greys, we would always say, start your documentation early. Now, it could be blogs, and it can be photographs, and it should be photographs, and you get on social media and get started because you want to campaign and spread the mm-hmm. word. But it's also useful to capture that passion and that nitty-gritty and the hard work, because you're showing any potential funder possibly 1, 2, 3, 5 years down the line, you've been at this a long time, you've been this passionate this long. Now, to an investor of any kind, that is attractive, because they're saying, well, these guys aren't going to give up. You know, if we as a funder, and it's usually charitable or trust given, they don't want their money to go to waste. So it's a brilliant way of capturing it. And it's why we wanted a film for our community business night. And we were so lucky that Curtis, he absolutely saw the real crux of the issue. And it was about people's lives. It was, you know, they're life-saving mm-hmm. Places like this.
Yes.
And in particular in areas where they're really missing those kind of things.
Mm.
And the same with, it's the same in Hanover. They need the Greys to be there.
Yeah.
Because it's an integral part of their community. So you mustn't lose it. But you can lose them so easily if you don't pay attention. So again, that's why media can draw people's attention to what they might be missing.
And I mean, I'm a big believer in people doing their own stuff. You know, I don't think it has to have someone like me come along and do this.
No.
You know, I think, you know, I mean, I'm interested in helping, giving people the tools to do this stuff themselves. Because
We've all got a phone nowadays. Yeah. There's always a camera there. There's a often a video function on a phone. You can do it quite simply for
absolutely
yourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant. And just quickly, because we're running out of time, but if you could just quickly sum up a few top tips, if there's an empty pub at the end of my street, if there's an empty church I want to make use of, where would I even start to turn it into a community enterprise?
Before we get to that, Natasha, can I just put in the quick commercial, because our first share offer goes live on the 25th, which is just
25th of November.
Just over a week. And a week after that, we have a festival, music festival, just to celebrate the fact that,
a launch, but
with music. I mean, the share offer goes live on the 25th of November. The music event's on the 2nd of December. We have Attila the Stockbroker headlining in the pub that night.
Fantastic.
Hot from the Liverpool game, of course.
And
the other thing I want to say is that, you know, we are the new kids on the block here. I mean, we're just finding out, and thank goodness for the baby who've given us so much help and advice and encouragement.
The cross fertilisation with these Brighton Community Enterprise is incredible and really impressive, and a testimony to the people involved.
And just the calm heads and the, you know, been there and done it approach that people like Ian have been able to bring to us.
Absolutely.
Dave Boyle particularly. It really encourages us.
Fantastic.
And from our point of view, we'd like there to be more community pubs, because at the moment we're the only community pub in Brighton, and across the country we're kind of the only community pub that's on a housing estate. Most of them are in villages and town centres. So we just want some company, really. So we're quite happy to offer advice. There's also
In terms of that advice, what's the starting point if you want to get something like this off the ground? Where do you start?
I think first of all, you gather your people. So you need some seriously committed people who are prepared to give a lot of their time, and then you organise yourself. So at that point, talk to a Plunkett or talk to a Dave Boyle. I mean, Dave Boyle will do advice on behalf of Plunkett. They'll pay him to come along and help you if you look serious. And then from that point, you've got a kind of organisational structure. Then you ask for help. So ask the people who've already done it. Go and see another pub. Here, they're lucky. They could come and see the bevy, but the Greys could also go and see a couple of pubs that are music-driven and possibly will have the same model that they will have. We're very much a sort of social impact community hub pub. They need to carry on being a music pub. That's what will make the Greys work. So what will make it financially viable. So then they should set about making that happen. So make sure everybody in Hanover, everybody in Brighton knows that they need to keep the Greys open. Mm-hmm. When these things disappear, they never come back. No. They will become houses. That's the determining thing that's driving all this. The pubcos are selling to turn them into houses to make money, because that's what makes money now.
Yeah.
If they could make money out of pubs, maybe they should do, but the community can make money out of these places, because they'll run them better precisely for the community, exactly what they want. The Greys is perfectly viable. It just needs to be untied, and it needs to be run by the people who care about it.
Fantastic.
Hallelujah.
And it's the same for the Dyke Pub. So the Dyke Pub's going through the same thing. It's a difficult situation, but ultimately the Dyke Pub could probably be made to work as a viable pub by people who really, really care about it.
Well, let's hope that all of these projects come to fruition and that there are many more alongside. Thanks ever so much for coming into the studio. My guests, Ian Chambers and Andy Roberts from the Bevy and the Greys, and Curtis James from We Are Fieldwork. Pop in for a pint at the Bevy, or a bevy at the Bevy, perhaps, which is where, Ian?
So it's at 50 Hillside in Molescombe. You can just get on the 49 bus, and there's a bus stop called the Bevendean Pub.
Super. And the Greys, which is on Southover Street, I believe.
It's 105. Yeah, it's just at the bottom end, the town end, on the right-hand side going up the hill.
Super. And Curtis, people can find more of your work or more information about what you do on your website, which is...
Yeah, that's wearefieldwork.com.
Super. Thanks ever so much for coming in.
Thank you, Natasha.
Thank you.
Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb Studio is based at the Open Market in London Road, which has some cracking businesses to get your food and gift shopping in the lead up to Christmas. So Marion McConaughey from the Brighton Apothecary is in the studio. What can customers find at your shop, Marion?
Hi, well, at Brighton Apothecary we stock a range of natural skincare, herbal remedies and herbal teas and health supplements.
And is there anything particularly seasonal they might need in the next couple of months?
Well, we've got lots of winter cold and flu remedies, elderberry syrups, and we make personally tailored herbal remedies for minor health problems like coughs and colds and things like that. We've also got lots of gifts for Christmas, nice skincare products and gift packs and things like that.
What kind of skincare do you make?
We've got face creams, body lotions, nice soaps.
And I understand you make them yourself, is that right?
I do make some of them. I do make a range, Field Remedies range of face creams and body lotions and hand creams.
Lovely. And if I can turn to you, Hannah. Hannah, you're from Miniature & Moss. What is Miniature & Moss?
Well, Miniature & Moss is a very strange shop. There's lots of miniature people running around. And we create and build our own terrariums.
What is a terrarium?
So a terrarium is a sealed environment in a glass vessel, and inside it we build up layers to create miniature worlds with gardens and plants, cacti, ferns, and create little landscapes where we can set narratives where little people and animals run around.
So who does the creating? Is it you or is it your customers or both?
A bit of both, actually. So we create a lot of the larger scale terrariums, but we offer a range of DIY kits, so you can actually either give the gift to somebody as a deconstructed terrarium and build it yourself with them, or you can come in and make your own as part of one of our workshops, or you can give us a commission if you've got any funny ideas. We do a lot of weddings, a lot of anniversaries and birthdays, so yeah.
So really unique gifts then?
Quite unique, very personalised, and we've got a few dates for workshops coming up that are 3D printing workshops. So that's taking personalisation to the next level. So you can come in and actually scan yourself and print yourself out in a miniature 3D replica of yourself and then house your mini you in a terrarium.
That is extraordinary.
It's pretty funny.
Well, I urge everyone to get along to both the Brighton Apothecary and to Miniature & Moss. Ladies, why should we all be shopping at the Open Market this Christmas?
One of the things I like most about the Open Market is that there's lots of very individual, unique businesses run by people who are really passionate about what they do. So you're not just going and shopping at a shop, you're speaking to an expert in their particular field, which it's a much more unique shopping experience, I think.
Thanks, Marion. And Hannah, what would you say should draw people here?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Marion that basically there's a lot of amazing small independents who are doing really creative things, and there's a lot of workshops and activities as well. So, you know, if you wanted to come down and make your own gifts, that's also an opportunity. Just a real range of different businesses, so very eclectic, a lot of diverse businesses, and a nice place to shop and get something to eat and drink and just sit and relax as well.
That's what I like about it. Plenty of choice and some smashing food and drink.
Oh yeah.
Thanks ever so much. And as someone who regularly shops at the Open Market, I encourage you to come on down and give us a wave through the studio window. Reverb depends on support from local businesses to stay on air. If you'd like to help out, please get in touch through the website www.radioreverb.com. Here's some news and events from around the city. A panel of entrepreneurs joins Brighton and Hove Chamber on the 21st of November for Adventures in Risk-Taking. Learn more about what the stakes are for high-growth businesses. Book at the Chamber website, businessinbrighton.org.uk. Virgin is hosting its last Startup Brighton meetup of 2017. The theme of the presentation is How to Build and Keep a Team. It takes place on Wednesday the 22nd of November at Platform 9 on North Road. Tickets are available on eventbrite.co.uk. Still to come on the business show, Refill Brighton is a scheme for businesses and their customers to help reduce plastic waste. But first, it's time for Going Up. Each month we welcome two businesses onto the show for our Going Up spot. They each get a minute to tell us what they do. Anyone in business is recommended to have an elevator pitch so they can share quickly and effectively the work that they do. It's based on the idea of finding yourself in a lift with someone really influential. You have just the length of the ride to tell them everything. So going up in the elevator today are Rue Asher and Victoria Green. Welcome to the Brighton Business Show.
Hello.
Brilliant that you could come in. And I'm not going to say what it is you do because that's your job. You're about to step into the Business Show elevator where you'll hear the doors shut and you'll have just a minute to pitch your business. When the minute's up, the doors will open. So are you ready, Rue?
I am.
Great stuff. Off you go.
Hi, I'm Rue Asher, clinical hypnotherapist with 20 years' experience, and I run my practice in Lewes, East Sussex, where I specialise in treating people with stress and anxiety. So whether you're self-employed, the boss of a large company, an employee, or just on your own at home struggling, my aim is to help you cope better, feel better, and sleep better, and to reclaim balance in your life. I also specialise in weight control, so details for that at hypnoweightlossclinic.com. And so in each session, using hypnosis, I'll be guiding you into a deep, healing, rebalancing state. And during your treatment, I'll also be teaching you some powerful relaxation techniques. For all you Reverb listeners, I'm offering a free 2-minute deep relaxation download found on my YouTube channel. Search for Rue Asher Clinic. So if you'd like to find out a little bit more about how I can help, all my contact info is on my website at stressdetoxclinic.com. So thanks for listening to my pitch and hope to hear from you.
That's fantastic. Excellent. How did it feel?
It felt a bit nerve-wracking, but it was okay. I think I stumbled on one bit, but yeah.
No, that was great. So we'll find out more about the Stress Detox Clinic very shortly, but first I'd like Victoria to step into the elevator. Are you ready to pitch, Victoria?
I am ready.
Your minute starts now.
According to Stylist magazine, the contents of a typical makeup bag are now worth £172, with UK women now spending more than £4 billion a year on cosmetics. But when it comes to transporting all these products, the average high street wash bag tends to be poor quality and not fit for purpose. Yet 90% of the women we surveyed said that shape and function were the main drivers for purchase. I'm Victoria Green and I create beauty bags with purpose. Beautifully made, practical and waterproof, with thoughtful details to help keep your cosmetics organised, and they look great in your bathroom too. I launched at Debenhams in 2014 and we're now their third best performing brand in self-select beauty. We're now stocked at Very, Fenix, Feel Unique and Amazon and on our own website. So my ask is for everyone listening to go to victoriagreen.co.uk and add their favourite beauty bag to their Christmas list.
That's fantastic. Bang on 1 minute. Well done.
That was good.
Yeah. So thank you, Victoria. Very interesting story there. Two very different kinds of businesses. Staying with you, Victoria, first of all, can you tell us a bit more about how you got started with your business?
Sure. So I've got a background in textiles and retail design. So I've been designing sort of behind the scenes for around 20 years. I was given a brief to design a range of wash bags for a company. And something just clicked. I just loved the fact that they were
beautiful on the outside, so my passion for textiles and pattern came out there. But on the inside, you could get yourself really well organised, and that obviously is one of my passions as well. I'm renowned for having everything in little pouches and squirreled away in little bags.
Yeah, I mean, as someone who's travels with my business, I find wash bags, makeup bags, really useful, but the designs aren't necessarily very practical, and that really seems to be something you've picked up on.
Yeah, exactly. And so what we do is we talk to our customers all the time, and we find out about what they do when they get to their hotel room, whether they hang them up, whether they want to keep them by the sink, whether they take the bottles out and put them by the bath, you know, all that.
It seems extraordinary that the bigger manufacturers haven't done that detailed research, because clearly their products aren't necessarily the same standard. And you're just a startup company, a very small, you know, you put that at the heart of your plan.
Yeah, so what we find is the big manufacturers use makeup bags as a sort of vehicle to put their print on. They're like a brand extension, mm-hmm. so almost like an afterthought. Whereas we put organisation and practicality at the heart of what we do. And as I said in my pitch, women are spending more and more money on cosmetics, and you don't want to shove your beautiful cosmetics in a kind of tatty old freebie bag that you got 10 years ago. You know, you want to keep mm-hmm. them nice and be able to see what you've got. So... Mm-hmm.
Now, we probably have to talk about the C word. Christmas is just around the corner.
Absolutely.
And obviously your products make great gifts. Have you Absolutely. Any tips for getting the best out of sales at this time of year for businesses in that area?
Our preparation obviously is done months in advance, sort of creating our Christmas images and planning our social media. So that's really important at this time of year. And as a company that our main focus is organisation, what we try and do is kind of give back to our customers, so make sure that we're giving lots of tips about how to keep organised at Christmas, as well as offering them products to do that. So we've planned all that way in advance, and we've also got a really exciting campaign on Black Friday, because that's obviously mm-hmm. a big moment in the retail calendar mm-hmm. now, where we've partnered with a cancer charity. So we give a bag for every product that's sold on the website. We donate a bag to the cancer charity, something to look forward to.
So that brings in the Christmas spirit.
Yes, exactly, because we find our customers they're a generous lot, and they're concerned about giving back at this time mm-hmm. of year rather than just getting as much as they can, which is sometimes what Black Friday can be about.
Yes, absolutely. And Rue, Christmas is certainly not only a busy but stressful time.
Yes, it is. Yes.
How can people identify if they are coming under undue stress? Because often it can creep up unawares.
Well, I think that's a really good question. I think there's certain things to look at. I think it's a case of a little bit of stress is okay, because it kind of motivates us. We get up in the morning, we need a little bit of stress to get us moving. Or when we're at work, if we've got a pitch to do, we need a little bit of adrenaline kind of going on there. But I think the problem amounts when it becomes stacked, you know, when there's not kind of a release for that stress. You know, for instance, in the workplace, if you kind of do that pitch and it's gone really well and everybody kind of pats you on the back, that's all great, and then you go off and have your lunch and you settle down in the park and have a sandwich and look at the fluffy clouds and relax, and that's fantastic. But the trouble is, what can happen is that there's no release when maybe emails are coming in constantly at work, or, you know, you feel that there's not enough time to get everything done, mm-hmm. so there's no release, and then we look for other things to kind of help us release, maybe not so healthy things, so, you know, alcohol, mm-hmm. gambling, drinking, food or sex, all those kind of things. And Christmas is a really, really stressful time, as we know. And again, it's the expectation, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And all that kind of getting all the shopping and all those kind of things. Yeah,
certainly is.
Family.
Family, indeed.
Small children.
Indeed.
So what would you say we could, you know, you've hinted at some things we can do to better manage stress, but what in general should people try to do?
I think get a balance and make sure that people have time out and lots of things. I mean, I was watching a programme the other day and they were talking about doing a little bit of gardening
or mindfulness is fantastic. I mean, I go in my garden and tinker about. It's very wild. My consultation room is at the end of my garden, and it's quite magical, actually. It's like a bit of a mysterious garden, but all those sorts of things. But also some mindfulness, gardening, meditation, just relaxing, just going for a walk, mm-hmm. and also hypnotherapy, and come and see me because I'll take the effort away. Sometimes those things, oh, God, I've got to go and do it. You know, I've got to make the effort. And if you come and see me, I'll help you to deeply relax.
So what should people look for in a hypnotherapist or psychotherapist when they're looking for that kind of support, when things do get too much and mindfulness and gardening aren't doing the job?
Brilliant question. I think it's having a chat with the hypnotherapist. We've all got lots of letters after our name. You know, we've all done the training. But actually, I think it's incredibly important to actually get on with the person that you're going to see and have some kind of rapport. And if you don't have that rapport, maybe you can have a chat on the phone or even pop along. I mean, I do a free consultation, phone consultation. If you really kind of think, well, I'm not quite sure, then try somebody else. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important.
So keep searching till you find the right person.
Keep searching. Obviously, all hypnotherapists need to be members of certain professional bodies. That's very important. Ethical standards and practice and so on, but it is really important to get on with that person.
And can you just explain, I think you do hypnotherapy and psychotherapy, is that right?
I used to do hypnotherapy and psychotherapy, but now I specialise in certain areas, and the areas that are of interest to me, so stress and anxiety, and also weight loss, weight control mm-hmm. is another area, and I have been known to stop people from smoking as well. So I within that comes some kind of psychotherapeutic techniques, mm-hmm. Focus, I would say solution-focused therapy, looking forward. I'm personally not an analyst, although that certainly is fantastic and has its place. I'm very much looking at how people are reacting now and moving them forward in their lives.
That's really interesting. So if we want to find out any more about your goods, Victoria, where can we find them?
Victoriagreen.co.uk. They make great Christmas presents.
And I was looking at the website earlier, and if you sign up for the newsletter, there's a 10% discount.
There is a 10% discount, yes. And then we send you lots of tips and information about getting organised as well.
Fantastic. And Rue, your website is?
Website is stressdetoxclinic.com, and if you go there, all my contact details are on there, and I'd like to say that I'm really interested in your makeup bags. They sound great. I'm going to be stocking up for friends and family.
Stress-free makeup bags.
And also, I have to say that it's an unusual present, but if anybody's interested, I'll provide a voucher as a Christmas present. Or if anybody's really suffering from stress at Christmas, I can send them a voucher for a friend or family.
If anybody's listening to this who knows me, that would make a good Christmas present for me.
You are welcome to come along. We'll do an exchange.
Yes.
That sounds fantastic. Very, absolutely brilliant to have you both on the show, Victoria and Rue.
Thank you.
Best of luck with your businesses and your future plans.
Thanks, I really enjoyed it.
Yes, me too. Thanks very much.
That's lovely.
Thank you.
Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
I asked Victoria Green for a track that had helped her in her business life, and she named this one. It's called Optimistic. That was Sound of Blackness with Optimistic, which Victoria says has seen her through lots of difficult times. If there's a track that means a lot to you in your working life, tell us on Facebook and Twitter at Business Reverb, or email Natasha Steele, natasha.steele@icloud.com. Now, there's been a lot in the news about the vast quantities of plastics polluting our oceans, great islands of waste floating across miles of open sea and getting washed up on beaches across the globe. I'd like to welcome onto the Business Show two people who aren't fazed by the scale of the problem and think there's something we can do about it very near to home. Marla Nathan and Debbie Hardy, welcome to the Radio Reverb studio.
Hello.
Now, hi guys. Marla, you've been the force behind setting up Refill Brighton, which is aimed at cutting plastic waste in the city. Can you tell us how it works?
Well, it's a really simple, practical, kind of common sense sort of idea, really. And it's just based on the idea that businesses put up a sticker and they go on an app just saying that people can go in and get free tap water. They can fill up their bottle rather than buying another single-use plastic bottle that will end up in the ocean or polluting the land somehow. People can just refill their bottle with free tap water, which saves all that plastic. And businesses just have a sticker outside their business just saying that free tap water is available. And they also go onto an app which you can put on your phone, which just literally puts them on the map so people know that they're there and that people can approach them.
So the app's kind of got two purposes. One, you can go on the app to find a refill station. You can just get it onto your mobile phone through an app store.
Yeah.
And then the businesses themselves can put themselves on the map?
Yeah, they can put themselves on the map. You can just download the refill app and put yourself on it, or you can just contact us and we'll send someone along to help you to put you on and give you a sticker as well.
Fantastic.
Either way works.
Brilliant. And Debbie, you're the director of Foodshed, which is an ethical business based here in the open market.
That's
in
right.
Central Brighton. Can you tell us a bit more about your background?
Yeah, so Foodshed is a business with community at its heart. We are a cooperative and we sell bulk organic food, so it's free from plastic packaging, which enables people to do their bit each time they shop to reduce their waste and potentially reduce the plastic that ends up in landfill and potentially in our oceans.
Brilliant. And how did you get involved with Refill Brighton?
Well, I saw a post on Facebook, actually, and thought that it was exactly the sort of thing that we'd be up for being involved with. So I immediately got in touch with Refill Brighton and offered our services as a refill station. It's something we already do and have done since we opened, really, that customers quite often come in with refillable bottles.
Mm-hmm.
And have asked to refill in the past. But this way, it means that people who aren't necessarily already our customers or who don't know that we have a tap can come in and ask to refill their bottle, and it really does help.
That's fantastic. So, Marla, how many Brighton businesses have you got signed up and what kind of businesses are involved?
We've had a tremendous response. We've only been going really for about a month. We've been approaching businesses, and lots of businesses have been approaching us to be part of the scheme as well, especially in the open market. And so at the moment, we're approaching 100 businesses. And it's been so, in lots of ways, it's been incredibly easy because we've just had such a positive response. People really want to be part of the solution here in Brighton, mm-hmm. and they're just really happy. It's not, for lots of businesses, it's something they do already.
Mm-hmm.
But it just means that people are quite often a bit embarrassed to ask for water in unless they're buying something. And so it's not like businesses are doing anything different, but they're just saying, look, we want to be part of the solution and it's fine. You can come in here and ask for water and that's going to be no problem whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we've had all sorts of businesses, like lots of cafes, but we've also had hairdressers, a record label recently, bakeries, hairdressers, yeah, all sorts of different businesses.
And Debbie, obviously the ethics of the environmental issues are at the heart of your business already, but what's in it for businesses that might not be positioned quite in that space? What's in it for them?
Well, what we found is that because Refill Brighton has an app, and on the app is actually a map of all the stations in town, it's a good way of driving traffic for businesses. So it actually can promote footfall for mm-hmm. for your shop or for your local business, especially for people who may not be your current customers.
And there's a lot of businesses here in the open market that are involved, aren't there, Marla? And isn't this a sort of echo of what's happened in London at Borough Market?
Yes, I mean, Borough Market has been the first market to go single-use plastic bottle-free.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Which is incredible. And, you know, we would love to see that happen here at Brighton Open Market. I think it's completely possible. So, and we've had, you know, we already know that some of the stallholders here are really keen on the idea. So it would be great if we could work with the management and make it, you know, get rid of single-use plastic bottles here.
Well, maybe we can get them on with the businesses. We'll look into that. So exactly what do businesses have to do to get involved? How can they join?
So it's really simple. The easiest way is probably just to contact us directly. So we're Refill Brighton. We're on all the social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, as Refill Brighton. And we're part of Brighton Peace and Environment Centre. So just send us an email or contact us via social media, and we'll send someone out, a volunteer will come out and put you on the app and give you a sticker to put up in the front so people know about the campaign. But you can upload yourselves to the app yourselves. You just download it from refill.org.uk and you can upload your business to the app yourself as well.
The Business Show Twitter account is at Business Reverb, and let us know you've joined the Refill scheme. We'll retweet your post to tell people about it. And Mala, this isn't just a Brighton scheme, is it? This is, Refill is going national, am I right?
Oh yes, that's right. It actually started in Bristol and it's exploding at the moment. I think everyone's just, there's a kind of a collective awakening at the moment to just what a big problem plastic is. And that's why it's been so easy. So many businesses want to be involved. And I think that's happening all over the country. So it's exploding. Yeah, it's part of, the app is a national app, so whenever you go on holiday or go somewhere else, you can use it to see where you can refill your water bottle. And there are refill schemes in Bristol, quite a few in the South Coast, in Bicester and Banbury. There's a new one starting up in London. They're popping up all over the place, and I think they're going to be even more so over the next year.
Brighton is at the vanguard, isn't
it? We are, very much. I think Brighton's the next big place after Bristol, really. Mm-hmm. So the two kind of traditionally forward-thinking places when it comes to environmental things are leading the way as usual. But yeah, I think the rest of the country is going to be catching up quickly. Mm. This year, we've been concentrating very much on building the Refill network this last month and getting lots of businesses involved. But next year, we'll be doing really much more of a public information campaign and behaviour change campaign. So we'll be going out to lots of events and doing more public interaction to encourage people to use the scheme. And we're looking for a headline sponsor for that as well. So it'll be quite a high profile campaign to be involved
with.
So
anybody out there listening who wants to get on board in a bigger way, then get in touch with Mala at the Refill Brighton campaign. Ladies, thank you ever so much for coming on and telling us about this fantastic scheme, and best of luck with your future plans.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
The Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
And that's it from me. I'd like to thank all my guests: Ian Chambers, Andy Roberts, Curtis James, Victoria Green, Rue Asher, Marla Nathan and Debbie Hardy. I'd also like to thank Kelly and Anthony for help here in the studio.